Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. The show is always brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Kara Lawson's going to join us in 20 minutes as we talk Wiz Raptors Game 5. Mike Rizzo at 9 o'clock, the GM of the Nationals. But right now, time for the entertainment page.
Nothing pleases Valdez greater than just ramrodding, just jamming the EP music into the start of a break. I mean, I can tell you, I know this
for a fact. There's a method to his madness.
I cherish every minute of the EP.
It's his favorite segment.
I know.
My favorite segment.
Why?
Because I need to know what's going on in Hollywood.
Well, you already know because you printed out the story.
When's the last time you saw a movie, Valdez?
I saw...
In the theater.
Oh, in the theater? Well, yeah. I go to the Valdezaplex.
Right. Yeah. It's very popular these days.
The last one in theater I saw was the Star Wars thing that I walked out on.
He watches everything home. But he stays up to date. But the entertainment page is not just about movies, it's about television.
That's true.
It's even about the sports ratings.
I watch Jersey Shore.
I got a lot of stuff here.
Can't believe you watched that trash.
I'm going to lead off, though, and Jason, you can just leave if you want.
Kardashians.
There's a Kardashian thing, and I will proudly admit, I stopped following Kim Kardashian a couple years ago on social media, because why would a grown man follow her?
Much like I rejoiced the day that I stopped following RG3 on Twitter.
Yeah.
It was great day.
Greatest thing ever.
It's an amazing day.
That knocked you down to like 3,000 follows.
Yeah.
He follows a lot of people.
If I do follow too many people.
But Drabby came in here. He goes, "Do you get sized for Kim Kardashian pictures?" And I go, "No, not really." But then I will say, then I looked at the one and I get sized.
All right.
So she just released a new fragrance, okay? KKW Body, it's called. So why don't you get that for Teresa? She'll be sized.
I'm sure she'd love it.
And the first one is like a picture of her dumb, like, half her face. Like, nobody cares about her dumb fake face. And then, like, this shot's overrated, the one where they put the hands over the boobs. That's over. Every girl's done that. Go see Janet Jackson 25 years ago, cover Rolling Stone.
Yeah, Teresa does that all the time.
Right. But... The shot that I will say that gets me, Drabby,
did it entice you?
Is the one, I don't know if it's the same one that gets you. It's the one where she's butt naked and she's crossing her legs. And I mean, you know, it's smooth as a baby's bottom done. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's going on down there. It's fine. But it's just right above that area, Cakes. It's the, I don't know what you call that area right there.
It's called Sully.
But right,
that's the technical
term. Right where she crosses her legs, and you see right above the silly, that gets me a little bit sad.
I think I know
as a male.
I think I know the technical term.
Someone who has testosterone raging through their body.
Pretty sure this is a scientific
term. How come there's nothing moving in me right now?
I think that's called the Mons.
I don't know.
MONS. Check it.
Is that true?
I think so.
Is that true? Will you look that up?
I'm pretty sure.
Have Lisa look that up.
It's very uncomfortable with Lisa in here right now.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's a bad day for Lisa to be here.
I'm looking it up right now.
But that, can they put that picture up on NBC Sports Washington?
No, are you insane? It's photoshopped.
What is?
I mean, I'm not a...
The Mons.
I'm not a gynecologist, but it looks like that pubic mound is photoshopped.
Why?
Because there's supposed to be a silly there.
Yeah, no, she's got it covered up at the exact spot.
I was a bio guy in high school. Of course I nailed it.
Let me see the picture.
Hot pick.
Right there.
Yeah.
There. Look. Mons.
The Mons.
Yes.
Hold on. Yeah, I get sized for that.
Of course you do.
I get sized for the Mons pubis.
The Mons pubis is what it's called?
Yes.
The Mons pubis is silly.
I'm guessing there's not too much pubis on her.
Hey, Drabby, the Mons pubis.
Do I get any
She's
props?
She's got a silly Mons pubis.
Do I get any props for knowing that?
You do.
Yeah, but you didn't say the complete. It's the Mons pubis.
I was all over it. Yeah. I was all over the Mons.
I recommend everyone take care of their Mons pubis.
Yes.
Are you all back in on Kim now?
No, I don't care. It could be any dummy's Mons pubis.
By the way, that's the first photo ever of a Kardashian.
Ooh, sorry, Jimmy, I meant to throw that against the wall.
Terrible aim. First photo ever of Kardashian crossing her legs.
Huh? Yeah, she is crossing right. her legs, Case. That's
I
a good point.
I think one of the cards was in town yesterday. Not
one of
her.
The cards?
Yeah.
Courtney.
Was it Courtney? What was she in town
what
for?
What was she in town?
Capitol Hill or something.
She was on Capitol Hill. She was
Kevin
on
yeah,
National Golf Day.
For National Golf Day. I know why she was in town, and this is stupid and boring, but I think she was lobbying for, like, makeup regulations.
Yes.
Because she has a makeup line, and she wants to make sure she can just sell it to all the marks out there. And she's lobbying for makeup safety.
It's too regulated, or she wants it more
regulated?
Oh, I don't know.
Wants
more regulation?
I glanced seen it. You think I read it?
Regulation on the amount of chemicals you use and that sort of stuff.
I gotcha. So we've been talking about this sort of behind the scenes. I don't know if you guys touched on this at all yesterday. But the legendary sports anchor, Mike Francesa, apparently has decided that he wants to come back and be on radio again.
He's been gone for 5 minutes.
He was sort of forced out, retired, whatever. It was in December?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been out 4 months.
Mid-December.
The new morning show, the new afternoon show that they hired to replace him, everyone just kind of like raised their eyebrows.
Scott. I don't know the name of the girl.
Maggie Gray, I believe.
Maggie Gray.
It doesn't matter because what they did is.
And Chris Carlin.
This usually doesn't work in radio. It's the one reason why, I think, the biggest reason why we've had the success that we've had, how little or great that it is, our chemistry. It's undeniable.
It's hard to throw three people together who've never worked together.
Put them in a major market in afternoon, the prime time spot, maybe the most powerful spot in sports radio, and just throw them to the wolves and expect them to.
It's destined to fail.
It's destined to fail. Unless
or at least
you just
not
let
do well.
Them bake for years. Let them fail for years and slowly grow an audience. Maybe they'll figure it out. But it's lasted about 3 or 4 months. And now all of a sudden, Mike Francesa out of nowhere says it's time to return. And he and WFAN, I guess, behind the scenes, have come to some sort of agreement.
Looks like it's happening. That show had one
Crazy.
Ratings book.
So
the new show had one ratings book.
Which is, by the way, not fair.
What was it?
Well, Radio Insider.
I guess Francesa always finished number one in his demo.
Right.
And they didn't finish number one. Michael Kay, who is a Yankees announcer.
Yep.
I thought he was on FAN, but I guess he's on the ESPN outlet there. And Michael Kay edged him out.
Hmm.
Right. It's not fair.
In one book.
To be fair, it's not fair to give someone one ratings.
Now, they're not whacking them. They're just going to like.
They're shortening their show.
It might be kind of a good deal for them because unless they have something in their contract where they're paid by the hour. If they're under contract, let's say, and now all of a sudden they have to do half the work.
Well, if they have something
like
where they're paid per hour,
so what are they doing?
Nub's agent.
Yeah. They're going 1 to 3 or 12
think,
to 2 or something?
I think Mike is going to be on from 3 to 6:30. And so whatever was the midday show and the afternoon show, they're just chopping them in half and then combining them.
Yeah, so the docs that were on from 3 to 7 or whatever, they're now 1 to 3.
Right. And the guys that were on from 10 to 2 are just like 10 to noon.
Right.
Because Entercom doesn't want to eat big fat contracts. Just throw them overboard.
Look, Mike's a legend, and you know I know a lot of people are sort of over, but Mike's a legend. So
sure, he can fall asleep on the air doing a solo show and still get away with it.
And I do think that when you just pair random people like that, it would take years for that to really work.
Right, not one ratings book.
It's not fair to only give him one ratings.
Of course not.
Boomer Esiason, by the way, was not happy with Francesa.
Apparently there's some sort of grudge.
Yeah.
Well, because I think Mike and Russo are kind of trashing the station and station management,
well,
so they're sticking up for their guys.
They were kind of trashing the show, too, that they were replacing.
Right, and Carlin, one of the co-hosts, found, you know, obviously heard them trashing it. I think it was on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
So he sent both of them. Now, this is according to reports. He sent both Mad Dog and Francesa the same text. Basically, it said, blank my blank.
Right.
And you can fill in all the blanks.
Right. Yes,
you can figure it out.
Not happy.
He
good
was
for him.
Salty.
Good for him. Stormy Daniels still in the news.
Man, Stormy,
you want to talk about somebody taking advantage of her 15 minutes?
Yep.
Apparently, she's got a new movie out, her first one in quite a while, Stormy Secret.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing very, very well. It's already racked up more than 150,000 views since it's been live on the Brazzers website.
Starring Stormy and Donald Trump.
Now, is that how they get paid nowadays for people that pay premium? Because nobody's buying DVDs anymore.
I know that Valdez knows when the new vids drop on browsers.
How are the porn stars making their money nowadays besides stripping? Like, can they make that much money putting out the movies?
Aren't they network? They're network girls. So, like, Brazzers has a network, and then, like, Bang Bros has a network.
So it's all for those premium memberships.
Right.
That's where the income's coming.
Basically. Right, exactly. They get some donk like Cakes that subscribes for a month, subscribes for a monthly fee. And then
I like the deflection.
And then he's an idiot and forgets that it's an auto renewal.
And then it's just a toll. He just keeps racking up every month.
And then all of a sudden,
Cakes looks at his credit card and says, where...
Cakes is losing $30 a month.
What's
his $30
charge?
Now this just sounds bizarre.
Sure.
And I don't know, is this possibly true? I guess it is. It's from Barstool, but I assume it's true. They're the ones reporting this. So Suge Knight is, of course, he's got a September trial date. Remember, he's in one of the reasons why he's in jail is because he ran over some dude on the set of the movie straight out of Compton, remember?
The dude died, correct?
Yeah, he was in his F-150, and he had a beef, and he just kind of backed up over him, I think.
That's crazy.
Killed him. So he's on trial for murder, and they were doing some preliminary court stuff. And at one point, one of the judges, in the middle of the proceedings or before they began, asked Suge Knight who he thought was going to win the NBA championship.
On death row?
Yes!
That's unbelievable.
What's going on here?
Who Chuck Knight pick?
What was his pick? Pick the Rockets?
He picked the Rockets.
Why would the judge ask him that?
It's so bizarre. What's going on? Speaking of that, we talked about it earlier. Meek Mill was released from prison.
I have never heard of Meek Mill. Swear to God.
I've heard the name.
It's been all in the news for the last 5 months about how he had been unjustly
imprisoned. I've heard that part of it.
Yeah.
But I'd never heard that he was a rap star.
He's been around for a long time.
Not in my world.
Not in your world. But it was a big deal.
I know more about Cue to Fool.
Is this a good song? Is this one of his hits?
I guess.
I don't know. I asked Valdez to just upload his
Dreams,
one.
Dreams and Nightmares. This is apparently the song the Eagles came out to during the Super Bowl.
Getting locked up was actually a great thing to happen for him, for his career, because before he went to jail, he was kind of a punchline because he got into a battle with Drake, and Drake smoked him. And everybody was laughing at
him. A rap battle?
But ever since he went to jail, I guess people felt sorry for him.
Meek Mill.
He's got some sort of weird relationship with the owner of the Sixers because
he was sitting on courtside. He was ringing the bell last night.
He said he was going to go pick him up from prison and fly him in or drive him in or whatever they did him there courtside.
I hope John Wall scores 40 tonight and Drake is salty courtside in Toronto. Right. I hope that happens tonight.
I think JP mentioned this earlier, but...
Oh, it's so...
That doesn't sound horrible. Get out of here. You just don't like anything new. You literally don't like anything
new. You're telling me that's a good song?
I'm saying it's not the worst thing I've ever heard. I'm barely listening to it.
It doesn't have to be the worst. Is it good or not?
Here's the thing.
That's terrible.
You've lost your credibility.
Because
you don't like anything that's come out in the last 15 years.
You're probably right.
Yeah. So you're just
what? No, it's not true.
You're right. Like Cakes.
It stinks on what Nick Backstrom's going to be skating on tomorrow
15
night.
15 years is too long. I like stuff that's coming out in 15 years. last 2 years, 3 years, probably not.
Give me a song. Give me a hip-hop song that you like from the last decade.
I don't know. Jay-Z's come out with stuff in the last decade.
Fire up ghetto.
Eminem's come out with stuff in the last decade.
So mind playing tricks on
me. I don't like Meek Mill. At the end of his career who releases mediocre.
All those old farts are better than what I just heard.
Yeah, all right. You just lost your credit.
Much better than Meek Mill.
Yeah.
Jay-Z in a wheelchair is better than Meek Mill.
Listen, I like Jay-Z. Don't paint me against
Jay-Z. I'm just saying, you're painting me as just the overall hater.
You're a hater of any new artist.
For guys like that, yes.
Or a new artist. Meek Mill's probably been around 8 to 10 years.
Logic has some good stuff.
He does.
Yeah, I like him.
Are you with me, Valdez?
He's an ageist.
He is. He's just doing the old man bit.
No,
Get off my lawn.
Who was playing the fart sounds?
Valdez.
I do that because it makes Drab laugh
Valdez
every time
the millennial.
I do it.
Okay, you didn't think that was good.
Every song he plays the fart song. Right.
Yeah, if you haven't picked up on it, I play a fart sound every song we do.
All right. I got more, but
well,
I know
never
got pie.
What was the story that I brought up that you were going to touch on?
Well, the Steinberg tweeted about Game 6 ratings of the Caps Blue Jacket series. Got a 5.5 rating in the D.C. market. which apparently is a pretty big number.
It's about five
what,
times.
I think they
the
average
regular season's about a one.
They average about a one typically.
You mean for a regular season game?
Yes.
All right.
So they got a 5-5. It's a big deal.
Well, it's going to be about a 7-5 tomorrow night.
All right. Coming up next, we will dive into Wizards Raptors. Big game tonight, Game 5. Kara Lawson, the voice of the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington, joins us here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll get into the Nationals, who've lost four in a row, with Mike Rizzo. Coming up at 9 o'clock as we go in the clubhouse, but joining us right now to talk Wizards Game 5 against the Raptors tonight in Toronto is Kara Lawson, color analyst on NBC Sports Washington. Good morning, Kara.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm anxiously awaiting tip tonight.
Are you like us? Do you have no idea what Wizards team is going to show up? That's how I feel. I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Me neither. That's why I'm anxiously awaiting, you know. Coming up here, the first two games, Toronto was excellent and wasn't sure what to expect from the guys coming home. And then they played two really good games, one of the best closing stretches that I'd seen them play all year in game four after Bradley Beal fouled out. And here we are tied 2-2. So I'm anxious to see how they play on the road here in game five.
You think they figured anything out defensively? Because Toronto's, especially their bench, was so good offensively from the perimeter. And Washington was terrible in closing out on those shooters. But they were much better in games three and four. But I don't know. Maybe it's the home court advantage. I mean, Toronto was, 34-7 in that building for a reason. So they obviously feed off that energy. But maybe the Wizards figured something out. I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely some tweaks that they've made. About the first game and a half of the series, they were really aggressive on the ball screen actions, particularly with DeRozan, bringing two to him. And he was getting the ball out of his hands quickly, which meant Toronto had numbers out of that pick-and-roll action, and right, they were getting open threes out of it. So 16 threes in game one, 11 threes in the first half of game two. And then they went to more switching at the second half, really about halfway through the third quarter, game two. And that kept the integrity of their defense and you know, enabled them to give up less three-point shots. And I think that certainly helped with their defense, but more than anything, I think just their pace was a lot better in game three and four, pushing the basketball more, getting easy opportunities, and really some of our guys just played better. I mean, Bradley wasn't very good in games one and two, and he was excellent in games three and four. March wasn't very good in games one and two. He was good. Kelly Oubre was much better defensively in games three and four. So some of it was just a function of guys playing better at home. Hopefully they can carry that over tonight.
Kara, how does Otto get more involved, only averaging 8 attempts per game in this series? He scored 12 twice, 8 in another game, and 9 in another. How do we get him out of this 8 or 9 attempts per game range? Do we see that going forward?
Yeah, see, this is a really hard thing because what Toronto's trying to do is they're trying to stay home on shooters, and they're trying to not let Washington's catch-and-shoot guys get open looks. And that's what Otto is. Otto mostly is a catch-and-shoot guy. You're not going to see him breaking down defenses like you see John doing or like you see Bradley doing. So when John drives or there's a ball screen in the middle of the floor, Toronto's not helping from Washington shooters. They're allowing John to get an open look or they're allowing that post player to get an open look. And that's different from most of the coverages that they saw all regular season, where Otto would be able to cut in the weak side or Otto would be able to get a driving kick three. So that it's to generate more offense for Otto, to answer your question, it's got to come from different ways. Like transition is a way that Otto can get going if Washington gets stops or if Washington's able to force turnovers. Offensive rebounding is a way Otto can get going. And then his normal ways where he gets weak side cuts or where he's able to get a catch and shoot. But it's just – it's different. That's what Toronto is choosing to take away. And I don't know if you take away catch and shoots for Otto that he's going to be able to generate well over 14 field goal attempts. That's just not his game. So I agree. I mean, it would be nice to have to see Otto get a 24-25 point game. We'll see. But that's a clear line in the sand that Toronto's trying to draw to not give him too many looks.
Joined by Carol Lawson, the voice of the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington. We had a couple callers wondering about Thomas Satoransky, and what I said is flat out, Lawson's better than him. What's your take on how Lawson, who comes over from China, is getting kind of the bench minutes, which aren't a ton because John's playing the majority at point, over Satoransky?
I mean, every series is different, and the playoffs are different, and I think Sato's had a terrific year. What Washington needs in this series off the bench is someone, when John's out, that can break down the defense, that has a quickness that can get into the lane and create. Because of all those things I talked about how they're staying home at shooters. And so I think that's why Scott Brooks has gone with Lawson in that capacity, because of his ability to break people down. Also, in this series, size or lack of size is not an issue for the backup point guard, because Toronto's guards are small as well. Lowry, Van Vliet hasn't played obviously that much this series, but you're not worried that Ty's not that big. And for Sato, he's a guy, he's a ball mover. He can knock down the 3-point shot, but he's not necessarily going to break you down. And I think that's what Washington needs more of in this series with them staying home on 3-point shooters. So, it's a part of it. It's a rotation, and it's something that I think has been the right call by Scott Brooks. Even though Shadow's had a great year, I think it's been the right call because of what Ty can provide.
Do you feel like the Wizards have to win tonight to win the series?
I don't. I remember coming home after game two, and all I was thinking was, gosh, they're really good. Toronto's really good. Okay, they're number one seed for a reason. But I just sure wish that the Wizards would be able to provide a little bit of game pressure and a little bit of series pressure in order to see how they are, see how good they are. Because when you make a number one seed feel pressure, sometimes they crack. And here's a team that represents not just the city guys, but an entire country. This is the only NBA team in Canada. This is the one seed. This is the year that everyone's saying that you can beat LeBron and you can get to the finals out of the East, right? This is the most chatter that we've heard about any other teams outside of Cleveland in quite some time. It's just been a foregone conclusion that it's a Cavs. Everyone knows that. And you have to think that there's a lot of pressure on Toronto thinking this is their year to get to the finals, not just get out of the first round, but get to the finals. And I don't know. I think if the Wizards were able to get it to a game seven, you don't know where that type of pressure is going to manifest itself. So to answer your question, no, I don't think that they have to win tonight to win the series, but it sure would be feel pretty good to win and come home for game six. Yeah.
Kara, how much do you think the Drake-John Wall subplot plays in? Because I know that John Wall, he likes to get the home crowd involved, but if Drake's sitting there courtside, like I'm assuming he will be, and he's a guy that basically told John Wall that the Raps are going to sweep the Wiz, he takes that sort of thing personally. What sort of back and forth do you envision between John Wall and Drake during the game tonight?
Yeah, John likes to generate things, like a lot of players do, that are me against the world type thing, or this person doesn't believe in me, or anything like that. And you know, that's a core piece to kind of what motivates him. And so I think doing that with Drake certainly serves as motivation. I don't think it impacts him negatively at all. You know, he'll go back and forth with Drake during the game, absolutely. But I don't think it'll cause him to not be focused on what's going on. Obviously, they love Drake here in Toronto, and he's very active on the sidelines, yelling things, yelling at the opposing players. But yeah, I think it's just a fun subplot. I don't really take too much from it. I mean, those guys are friends, and you know, they're going to talk trash.
Kara, did your level of fame rise after the semifinal game on the women's side for your non-reaction that went viral after the game-winning shot? What was that like for you?
Yeah. Well, one, I was thankful, because if you're going to have a meme, I guess, or whatever it is, at least you want it to be semi-flattering and not something that's embarrassing. So I thought, hey, well, if you're going to have one, it's not bad. I guess a little bit. I mean, when I met up with the team the day after the Final Four, I met up with the guys in Houston. They played the Rockets a couple days after the Final Four. And I walked into the lobby, and these people that I didn't even know came up to me and were like, oh, I saw you on the video. That was so funny. Like, and that's all everyone with the Wizards wanted to talk about was how I stayed so calm, or what was going on, and ask about it. So I would say for a little while there, yes. Like the week after, yes. But since then, I haven't really heard too much about it.
If I told people, and you can talk about this, your job at that point is kind of to let the moment speak for itself. It's on TV, so you're letting it breathe.
Yeah, it's kind of twofold, right? You're letting it breathe, but also in the semifinal, when Arike Ogunbowale, the close one of the game, hit the game-winning shot against UConn, there was still 1 second left. And I knew UConn didn't have a timeout. So I was analyzing. I was figuring out what they were going to do, what was going to happen, because I knew it would happen right away because there was no timeout. And then, obviously, they threw the full-court pass. The UConn kid almost made the layup. So there's still a lot to analyze of what's happening, and you want to make sure you're on top of it, because as an analyst, just like as a player and just like as a coach, a lot of times you're judged more on the end of game if it's a close game than you are during the course of the game. So you want to make sure you get it right. So that's what I was doing. I was just focused on getting it right for everybody at home.
And that was in contrast to Rebecca Lobo, right, who went nuts.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're different personalities, too. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I'm more, I don't want to say I'm more calm. She's calm, too, but I'm definitely more poker face than she is in general. So
you had the Jay Wright reaction. Like, no big deal.
Yes. Jay Wright, yep.
Exactly.
I'll take it. I'll take it in the same breath as Jay Wright.
Yep.
He's pretty awesome.
That works.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Kara. Appreciate it. You do a great job. I really appreciate the insight.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Have a good one.
Yeah, I think she's so
awesome. She joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline.
You can sit there and just talk and say, for whatever reason, they're not scoring. And she breaks it down. Well, this is they changed the way they're defending the pick and roll or whatever. And, yeah.
She's a good listen along with Buck. I miss Phil, but I like Kara.
Yeah,
I just like think her she gets Buck.
Phil's working, though.
Oh, I know
Phil's actually
still busy.
Doing some games. He does some
studio work.
He did Wizards Overtime the other night. Probably took my money.
Right.
Yeah, I bit her.
I don't know, man. Now I'm a little bit more bullish on the way she kind of described that. And you look at the production, the way it's gone down again, 3 and 4, maybe it continues. Maybe it's not just the guys just turned it on. Like Scotty Brooks made a key adjustment there that we're not really paying attention to.
It's also how, and you know, you point out Wall's going to do what he's done. Mm-hmm. Beal's got to be a factor.
Got it.
Beal's got to play a lot better, like she said, in game 5 than he did in games 1 and 2, especially game 2.
I mean, we can talk about the bench and we can talk about Otto. It usually comes down to the stars in the NBA playoffs.
It does.
If Bradley Beal and John Wall continue to deliver like they did in the last couple games,
if they both can get 26 to 28 tonight, yeah, you like your chances.
You do, but not if they give up 76 in the first half. There's two parts to that equation.
Got to tighten up.
I never really worry about their offensive production. I mean, they have bad games, but generally, they score enough to win.
All right, remember, coming up at 9 o'clock, Mike Rizzo, the GM of the Nationals, joins us on the Junkies. Fun time for DC Sports, because tonight you got Game 5. Wiz Raptors, just talked to Kara Lawson about that. Got the Caps opening up tomorrow in Round 2 at home at Capital One Arena against the Penguins. And much to Jason's dismay, the NFL draft starts at the same time as Game 1. But we are going to do our mock draft tomorrow.
We are, yes.
I have the 7th pick. I'm representing the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll have to study their team needs tonight. I know they don't need a quarterback or receivers.
Probably could use help at running back. If Saquon Barkley somehow slips down to 7, I'm guessing you're going to pick him. But that's just a guess.
In the mock draft, he's not slipping to 7.
Is Evie picking on behalf of the Redskins at 13?
I think he doesn't want to participate.
Yeah, but things changed when he was out.
Okay. Oh, somebody said I had to participate?
No. We just think it would be good for the show. Here's
Can I pick for the Skins?
We're going to make the first 12 picks. Right, you get the Skins pick, and then we're going to take a bunch of calls from the callers.
Right. And then I'll make the official pick.
You'll collect information from all of them, and then you'll make your pick.
Buddies, can I just hear the little production for every time we make a pick? I get sized. I love the chime.
Is it the ESPN or is it the NFL chime?
I don't know who does it. I don't know who came up with it. Isn't the draft on Fox this year?
It's on 3 different networks.
NFL Network definitely has it.
3 networks.
That's ESPN.
That's just music to my ears.
It's on Fox. They have the exclusive rights, but it's also NFL Network and ESPN.
Correct.
Pretty sure.
Three networks are covering it.
It's not exclusive.
I think I might take DJ Moore number 1 overall.
I'd love it.
Hey, make sure you play the little chime before every pick.
Oh, he will.
Everyone's got to be.
Well, that's
It's my first rodeo going to the mock draft.
No, I'm just saying we have to be aware.
Right.
We have to be aware to say the pick is in.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I'm getting horny for it tomorrow.
Maybe we should give Lisa a selection.
Oh, we should. Does she have one? Did we rescind AWODS?
Maybe he wasn't part of it.
He was never part of it. The ultimate insult. By the way, I have noticed.
Adam is so bitter.
I have noticed that Adam is now clinging to whoever he can find. He was clinging to Jason before. He has no friend. Like, we've kind of iced him out now. Not me. I don't care. But Drabby and Valdez are bullying him right now. And they're not talking to
him. They're bullying him. Yeah,
no, you're bullying him, and you're upset with him.
How are we bullying?
It's work dynamics. It happens. You guys had a little breakup.
They're not bullying him. They actually just moved him to his proper workstation. He had somehow weaseled his way in the studio.
That's one aspect of it. But the other aspect of it is they were butt buddies, and he doesn't have a butt buddy anymore. So during the breaks, I saw him clinging to Jason. And listen. Jason's fairly nice to the kid, but I can promise you, Adam, he doesn't care if you're breathing or dead. I promise you.
No, and I asked him. I said, do you hate Drab and Valdez right now?
Right. So you were a little curious
at
that moment.
What was his answer?
He said, it's annoying.
Yeah.
I said, no. Do you hate them?
Yeah.
He goes, I just can't believe they're making a big deal about it.
Right.
And again, I said, do you hate them?
Right. He wasn't answering the question.
He doesn't want to use
the
word.
No, but here's the part I caught, though. So you're asking him all that because that's all you care about.
Yeah.
He's then saying, no, but what do you think tonight, man? Do you think the Wiz can win tonight? So he's like desperate,
engaging small talk.
He wants somebody to just be like his Drabby.
I saw him walking down the hallway.
He doesn't have anybody to be his Drabby.
With JP for like 20 seconds. Now,
yeah, and then
I'm sure
I saw him with JP. JP gave him a little moment. I just looked at him, shook my head, and went, Adam.
I don't mind the kid off air. I've actually played tennis with him and basketball with him.
Yeah, but you hang out with like weirdos sometimes. Like, that's kind of your bit.
Well, is that a weirdo?
You'll go play bowl with Rom or something. I mean, you'll do something weird.
You've had Rom over to your house many times.
Yeah, always against my
will. Yeah, take his money.
Always against my will.
Right, because they know he's going to spew like a volcano at the poker table.
Is it having him over when he knocks on your back door with a cigarette dangling?
Oh, can't imagine. I mean,
is that having the guy over?
Please don't ever do that, Rom.
He's knocking on your back door.
Anyway, I don't mind talking to Adam off air. It's fine.
Neither do I.
He annoys me on air when he says, I'm the AWOD's army, and all that nonsense.
Voice of the millennial.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah.
But I don't mind talking to him.
I just feel for him. It's one thing to sort of be shoved off the air. He doesn't even have an off-air buddy. This job is a big buddy fest to him, and he doesn't have that anymore.
He's not being shoved off air. I mean, you can have him in and whenever you want.
Right, but it's out of sight, out of mind. It's out of sight, out of mind.
He's been
that guy couldn't be more
studio.
Dead to me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's just out of this studio.
Yeah, dead.
I mean, how's it going for you
only,
thus far, Matt?
Fine.
He's only 10 feet away. He might as well be in Japan.
Yeah.
If you're not in that studio and we can't see you, you basically don't exist.
Now, he shares something in common with Josh Rosen. It's one thing. They're both Jewish.
Okay. That's where it ends.
Has actually posited.
And they're humans.
That his stock has dropped because of his faith and other reasons, like he's too smart. And there's a question of whether he's going to be the number one pick, the number two pick, or slide down. I know Jason actually did a little research on quarterbacks being drafted in the first round. But here's some audio of Josh Rosen talking about whether he's going to go number one with Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not paying attention to all that stuff very much. I mean, I've always been the number two guy. I mean, coming out of high school, Ricky Town was the dude. He was going to SC. I was going to UCLA. He was number one in the country. I was number two, and he was going to bring USC back to the promised land. Blake Barnett, after Ricky kind of faded away a little bit, Blake Barnett was the Elite 11 MVP. He was the dude that was going to go to Bama, win a couple championships, and call it quits, go to the league as a first overall pick. You don't really hear about him too much. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, these dudes that are these exotic, cool, like flashy quarterbacks, that number one pick, all this stuff. And I'm number two, and you know what? I'm going to sit here. And in a couple of years, when all is said and done, I'm confident that I'll still be standing.
See, well, I don't mind a little swagger from my quarterback.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Don't you want that? Don't you want him to be kind of brash?
The question is, denigrate the other guys in his class, I don't think. He was borderline.
But
on
there
that.
Was even.
Well, I mean, he feels shunned a little bit because of some of the off the field stuff and some of the things he says.
Well, there
that's
was
why
even
I just wondered if New York
from,
is a good media for him.
There was even negative
tension. So if the Jets take him at three, is that a good fit? I'm not sure it is. Because the New York media will kill you if you're not good.
There was even negative tension from the comments from his head coach. His former head coach, Jim Mora. Yeah,
some were saying, though, that was on purpose, though.
Maybe.
That was to prevent the Browns from taking him.
Or maybe they butted heads. Who knows? We just don't know.
I mean, the comment really was that you have to keep him engaged.
Mm-hmm. Right, he's not just going to be a football robot the whole time when he's with your team.
Which is
what a lot of coaches want.
He's almost being knocked because he comes from like an affluent background. That maybe he doesn't care enough.
I think he cares. I definitely think he cares. But I went through the first round quarterbacks from 2000. Right? These are all the quarterbacks taken in the first round since for the last 18 years.
How many are there?
Let's just say
you don't have the number. You didn't count them.
No, I have them year by year. All right. So, and you could tell me hit or miss. Now, last year's it's still up in the air. Trubisky, Mahomes, Watson. You just have no idea. Yeah. Okay, so throw them out. 16 was Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch.
Two hits and one miss.
Right now, it looks like two hits, right?
Yeah, of course.
But again, things can change.
They could, but I'd say that the first two are fine.
All right. 15 was Jameis and Mariota.
Yeah, the Mariota thing is, but I'd say Mariota's
is there a math column? Like, not great,
yeah, I mean,
not
I don't
terrible?
Think you can call either of them a hit yet.
I would call them hits.
Why? Just because they start?
Well, Mariota has taken his team to the playoffs. I think
is that all you got
to
do?
Yeah, I think he's been solid, and I think Jameis Winston's a player.
You could argue that they made it on the strength of a running game and a defense, not really on what Mariota did.
What's Winston done in the postseason? Has he even gotten to a playoff game? I don't think so.
Nothing, but it's only a couple seasons.
Right,
generally, the guys who are drafted one
can
go
we agree this?
Season.
I can't
let's
see
let's agree to this. They're still up in the air, those two.
Okay.
Because they were drafted 1 and 2. If all you're doing is just getting to the playoffs every year, I mean, I don't know if that's a hit.
Right, but when you're drafted 1 and 2, you're taking over an awful team.
True, but eventually they should be franchise cornerstone, like borderline Hall of Fame type players.
Correct. You just know, I think
at
you just
one
know
and two,
it or not.
Yes.
Like, you're going to knock Matthew Stafford for not doing anything in the playoffs yet, but everybody knows he's a
I'll
very good quarterback.
I'll give him a hit.
Yep.
All right, 14, Bortles, Manziel, Bridgewater. Everyone would have called Bortles a swing and a miss up until last year.
I still think he's pretty mediocre. Outside
probably
of his one outlier year.
Remember, he was drafted 3 overall.
Yeah.
Those are the guys who drafted in the 20s and
30s. Bortles a... I think he might be a hit. He's going on his fifth year starting.
It's a single.
Yeah, it's slapping.
Right. It's
single.
Not a home run, but it's not a whiff.
It's Bortles, an infield hit.
Bortles is, I would say Bortles is more of a hit than Jameis.
Maybe.
Based on
I
last
think
year.
Jameis is better.
JP, you mock quarterbacks that don't throw for 4,000 yards every year, and Jameis had 3,500 with 19 touchdowns and 11 picks.
Bortles has to do it another year. I don't think he can just do it 1 year because he was drafted 3.
But he also had a good year a couple years ago.
He had a great year. He threw 35 touchdowns, but that has been his outlier year.
Jameis' highest thing is 28.
I'm going to say Bortles has had two good years.
I'm still going to put Bortles in the miss for me. It's just me. Mm. EJ Manuel, huge miss.
Miss.
2012, Luck, RG3, Tannehill, Whedon.
1 for 4, maybe 2 for 4, but Tannehill's always banged up.
I'm not a huge Tannehill guy.
Tannehill would be another single.
And again, Luck's shoulder is kind of dictate
that's a giant question
what
mark
category
for
he's going to be.
Yeah, right. But that's crazy.
So
it?
You got Luck as a hit. All right.
Yeah.
Cam, Locker, Gabbert, Ponder.
One. 1 for 4.
1 for 4.
All right. 2010, Bradford, Tebow. Wow. We already talked about Bradford.
1 for 2.
Maybe.
And that's a dicey one.
The dicey
because
it's
not one. A great. When you say healthy. Hit, it doesn't mean he's a Hall of Famer. It just means right. he's a quarterback that can lead your team. Starter. You know what I mean? Can lead your team and not embarrass you, and okay, you can expect
to
win.
All right, again, he was the number one overall pick.
Right, he wasn't. He didn't live up to one overall.
Right,
probably.
so wouldn't that be categorized as a miss?
He's a disappointment. For where he was drafted, Sam Bradford has been a disappointment.
I agree.
I don't think there's any way around that.
These guys disagree. All right, 2009, Stafford, Sanchez, Freeman. All right, I'll give you a hit on Stafford.
Stafford, you got to give a hit.
One for three.
Even though he's won no playoff games as the number one overall pick.
He just puts up big numbers. They give him $150 million contracts for a reason.
All right.
They don't give those to misses. They don't give second $150 million contracts to misses.
Hey, they believe he was a hit. 2008, Matt Ryan, Flacco. I think you got to go
both
hit.
Hits.
Two.
You got to go hit, hit.
7, Jamarcus, Brady Quinn.
0 for 2.
2006, Vince.
Sorry, Brady. I mean, he's looking at me right here. I feel,
well,
I feel
he's still
sorry.
Sexy.
Yeah.
He's right. Probably certainly got a is. Silly Mons.
2006, Vince Young, Matt Leinart.
Man's Mons.
Yeah.
Vince Young, Matt Leinart, Jay Cutler. 0 for 3.
0 for 3.
2005, Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell. All right.
2 for 3.
I think we'll go 2 and 1 there, right? 2004, Eli, Phillip Rivers, B. Roth, J.P. Lossman.
I mean, that's a smash-ola class
three for
right
four.
There.
That's a good
outside
class.
Of J.P.'s namesake, Lossman.
All right.
He's hurting.
2003, Carson Palmer, Leftwich, Kyle Bowler, Rex Grossman.
1 for 4.
Carson think... Palmer.
And Carson Palmer, remember, number one overall pick.
It's weird because your rules are weird.
He's looking for Hall of Famers.
A guy can play 8 years, 10 years in the league. That's a pretty good career. I mean, it's not.
You almost have to have the category rules? Of he's pretty yeah. good, but he's just saying that is.
What are you quibbling with out of those?
Well, I mean, some of those guys played a long time. So like, they were great, but they played a long time. And it just depends on your criteria.
So I don't know which name are you
Well, I don't know. How long did Leftwich play? I mean, he had some moments,
didn't
he? He
was the seventh pick in the draft.
Okay, but he had some moments.
You don't have, if you're the seventh pick, you can't just have moments. Are you saying he's
a
hit?
He wants you to be a 10-year starter.
Hold on.
That's basically what
no,
he
no,
wants.
No. As
I mean,
a football like, fan, you're telling me Byron Leftwich was a hit?
I'm just saying he wasn't the worst quarterback ever. It was way worse.
But that's not there's not 12 different categories.
It matters
there's
where you're
hit or
picked.
Miss.
If you're picked seventh, you're expected to have a better career than
Let
Leftwich
me just get
did.
Through this real quick. Mm-hmm. All right, 2002, 2001, and 2000. 5 quarterbacks. David Carr, Joey Harrington, Patrick Ramsey, Michael Vick, Chad Pennington.
I think you have
one
to give
for five.
Vic a hit.
I'll give you Vic.
Vic's 1 for 5, and Pennington was pretty solid.
And Pennington
had a, lot of injury
had a really good career when he was healthy.
Yeah. He had a banged up shoulder.
Exactly.
Like
if you call
Jason.
Pennington a miss, that's just not being fair. It's not being fair. And he was drafted later right. in the first round, wasn't he?
He was mid. He was mid.
He wasn't a big arm guy, but he had some pretty good years.
You're sub 50%. Bottom line is you're sub 50%.
My math
is 15 hits, 29 misses.
Ooh. Yeah. Maybe that's why the Browns are considering drafting two quarterbacks.
So when,
you get 30, one hit
so
out
when
of two.
Ish. So when you look at the quarterbacks coming out, you got to assume half of them, maybe even more, maybe even three out of the top four, are going to be whiffs.
Hey, Valdez, pick two quarterbacks tomorrow so I get a silly pick number 10
for
the Raiders.
I already told you I'm going to take DJ Moore number one.
Okay.
And then I'm still thinking about my quarterbacks.
I'm definitely picking Josh Allen as a whiff. I would not spend
blind
it.
Whiff?
Yes. 100%.
All right. Coming up next, we will shift gears. We will talk some baseball. The Nats have lost 4 in a row. Mike Rizzo, their GM, joins
Rizzo.
Us next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.